So we should always remember today and in the coming weeks that when we hear all this bread of life talk, that it comes right after the feeding of the 5,000, and it's kind of Jesus' interpretation of it. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And then the Jewish people began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" And Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my own flesh." This is the gospel of the Lord. The last couple of weeks, Mary and I have been immersed in food. Tomorrow morning, we're going to leave for some vacation up in the San Juans. A friend has a lovely guest house, and we get to be there again. And, Jen and John and the kids and some friends from Detroit and their kids are coming, and our niece and one of her daughters from Boston is coming. And so Mary and I bring the food. So we've been making food and freezing food and making lists and checking it twice and doing it again. And then when Beth and Eric go on vacation, they ask me to preach today. And wouldn't you know what the text is? Food. Bread. Seems like a natural. God's beloved people. Jesus said he was the bread of life, the living bread, bread from heaven. And that everyone who eats this bread will live forever. Now, what in the world does that mean? What are we to make of this? We find these words sandwiched in the middle of John. And from our reading and hearing of Jesus, we see that he was quite good at slicing to the heart of things and quite often got a rise out of people. And even had a kind of wry wit about him. But enough of this crummy, half-baked humor. "I am the bread of life," Jesus said. And, it's somewhat difficult for us these days to grasp the meaning of this. For all of the carb counters out there, when Jesus says, "I'm the bread of life," it's kind of like a little over, it's kind of like bringing a bag of glazed donuts to a weigh-in, for the Weight Watchers weigh-in. It's just maybe a bit much. We who live in abundance seldom know hunger. Instead of being conscious of striving and laboring to gather money for bread to prevent our hunger, we now work hard and discipline ourselves and exert all the willpower we can muster to refrain from bread and all the fantastic amounts of food around us. Our energies are put into limiting ourselves. Surely, I'm not the only one counting carbs among us. 5 pounds, I've got 20 some to go. But still, bread bread is a very, very, very central and positive thing in the Bible. It feeds the body, and it's a sign of God's providence and graciousness. Manna from heaven was given to the Exodus people of Israel. Elijah, as you heard, was renewed and sustained by food and drink. Abraham and Sarah entertain angels unaware with bread and wine and seal the deal of a promised child. We could go on and on and on about all the food stories in the Bible. Jesus feeds the 5,000. It's the only miracle story that Jesus does that occurs in all four of the Gospels. Meals fill our stomachs, reveal our identity, and create, mend, and sustain relationships. You may have the cake and candles, but it isn't a birthday party unless you have friends and family to celebrate with you. It isn't a potluck unless everyone brings a dish to share. Bread and food are still central to our lives together. I mean, we noticed it again in the announcements. There's a sign up in it. How do we celebrate our church, our faith, and our family festivals? We eat. In my early days in North Dakota, it was said to be a Lutheran there, you had to pass a test. Coffee and dessert in one hand while balancing a paper plate in the other in such a way that your red Jell-O with bananas did not melt into the hamburger hot noodle hot dog. It seems that in the church we are almost preoccupied with food. I mean, wedding cakes, funeral casseroles, potluck meals, Lenten suppers, Thanksgiving turkeys, Easter breakfasts, Christmas food baskets, fellowship committees, food lists, potato harvesting, community gardens, morning breakfast groups. How are we going to welcome the Shahs into St. Mark? I know! Hey, let's have a barbecue with Joe and Vix. What would a church be like without a kitchen? Why is it that at the heart of our life together, there is often an exhausted group of folks in the sitting around a dining room table in the parish hall? Why is it there is a continuous need for cakes and salads in a church kitchen that often becomes a source of contention because the last group messed it up somehow? For example, this very day in this very place, the Smogs are the only group that knows how to use the new dishwasher. And those Tuesday and Wednesday early Christian groups always flood the place. Why are churches always providing the necessities for food banks? Why is it that so often that soup lines in urban centers are located in church kitchens? It's no accident. The bread of life has made it so. All the food points to him, Jesus in our midst. It nourishes our bodies, it builds our communities, and speaks to the depths of our very beings. Have you ever been to a potluck where there wasn't enough? There's always enough. There's an abundance of food. There is an abundance of grace. There is compassion galore and love abounding because that is how it is in the presence of Jesus. It was a French chef who said, "You are what you eat." And he was right. Jesus repeated it time and time again and again. I am the bread of life. I come from the Father. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. I was sent from the Father. Sunday after Sunday in the coming weeks, you will hear it again. I am the bread of life. It seems kind of mysterious and very deep, very difficult, an endless conversation. Yet it is the type of conversation we have all experienced from time to time. Perhaps it was with a son or a daughter, and they're making poor decisions. And you talk and talk, and you want to have them participate and share in what you know and experienced, to share your wisdom. And you say, if only I could creep into your head. If you could only look through my eyes, if I could only let you know what I know, if I could only let you experience what I experienced. Or perhaps you are talking to your spouse, your love. There is a very delicate point, and it is very important to you, and she does not see. He does not understand, and as you talk, you think. If I could only be you, then you could see. If I could only make you see with my eyes, if I could only make you hear with my ears, if I could only make you touch with my hands, if you could only eat the bread I ate, if you could only be my flesh, if you could only have my blood. That is how Jesus talked that afternoon. He knew that his type of life, loving, forgiving, community building, taking children as your very first issue, simple, nonviolent, always ready to dialogue, never hardened, God-fearing, human life respecting, only that kind of life could heal and save the world and humankind. And so he pleaded, please, see my point. I know, please hear my point, I am sure. Please feel my point. I come from the Father. Eat my bread. Drink my water. I am the bread of life. That old French chef was right. You are what you eat. So come to the table in a joy once again. The peace, love, and joy. All that good stuff from God. Amen.